So if you're joining us today, if you weren't here last week, we're talking about On Point. This is we're just doing a short 3-week series, but it's called On Point, What's Our Mission? And if you ever heard that slang or that phrase in our culture, right, when someone says, man, that's on point, maybe that's an older word. I remember that when I was maybe a teenager, so that is older. But when someone's on point, that means that they are focused, they're dedicated, they are doing the task that is assigned to them. And we talked about last week that Jesus has given us certain things as a believer. If you say today, Pastor Dan, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I've asked him to forgive me, redeem me, I'm going to follow him, then Christ has given us commands to follow, not to be this hard, dominating taskmaster, but to give us life and a future and to spread the gospel, the hope and message of his life. And so we're talking in these 3 weeks about being on point. Like, what's our mission? We came out of Resurrection Sunday where, man, we celebrate Jesus. He lived, he died, he rose again, gave us freedom from sin and death. But then the question is, not now what? What do we do with our life from that point after the resurrection? So we're talking about on point. And so I want to talk to you. I'm going to show you a video here, all right? Let me just turn the lights down. I'm going to show you a quick video. It's talking about being a witness. And some of you are going to recognize the player in this video. But anyhow, Drew, make sure that if you have that audio up for me, all right? Here we go. All right. Here we go.
Once I saw a young man, I was just mesmerized.
It looked like somebody built him. The creator said, use these legs, put on these arms.
It was a three-point line. He said,
no. He was about maybe 9, shooting half-court shots.
Woo!
He like the best player in the NBA?
We pick our players.
That's for sure.
I didn't know he was going to grow to be 6'8".
He has a way to know where to go and how to do it.
Maybe like being sucked into a vortex.
He's everything.
Mega superstar.
I like the way he scores. Threes, twos, dunks.
Rock solid body. He always called me Dub for whatever reason. I'm not sure.
He just jammed it with two hands and had to dodge the backboard before he came down.
He had it back here.
I would cross you up and then I'd dunk in your mouth.
Oh my goodness. That's it. That's it right there.
Oh, I'm definitely a witness.
I'm a witness.
I am a witness.
I'm a witness. Definitely I'm a witness.
I'm a witness.
I'm probably the number one witness.
Well, if you don't know who that was LeBron James of the LA Lakers, but formerly of the Cleveland Cavaliers, my hometown, my team. I grew up going to the Cavaliers game. But back in 2007, Nike introduced this. I don't know if you're sports fans or not, but they introduced the campaign called We Are All Witnesses campaign. I don't know if any of you sports fans saw this. But anyhow, this is downtown Cleveland over here on the right. That's Tower City in the downtown. Down there's a huge underground shopping complex. If you don't know Cleveland, I encourage you to go there. It's called Tower City. It's like a mall, but all underground, like a whole city underground. It's really cool. But anyhow, right over here, as you can see for scale on this building, they put up this huge banner. And that's LeBron there open. If you've seen his pregame ritual, is he put the chalk on his hands and he goes like this and he throws it up and gets his hands ready to play basketball. But Nike put out this campaign called We Are All Witnesses. And the goal they put out, they said some people were asking, what was the goal of this ad campaign? Nike spent millions of dollars on this ad campaign. And the witness campaign pays tribute to LeBron James and acknowledges the legions of fans worldwide who are, quote, witnessing his greatness, power, athleticism, and the beautiful style of play, unquote. That was the goal of this ad campaign. But I wanted you to catch some of these words. Nike was saying people around the world are witnessing his greatness, his power, athleticism, and beautiful style of play. People were told, and they exclaimed that they were witnessing something amazing. If you don't know the story, LeBron James came out of high school, was signed on for the Cavaliers, over a $90 million deal at 18 years old. Came in, started playing, took the Cavs to their first ever finals within 2 years, won NBA Rookie of the Year, set scoring titles the first 2 years. People were like, man, this guy is going to bring Cleveland back into the Sports Arena Hall of Fame. And everybody was talking about, man, this guy is great. And they used the word, he's King James. And oh, he, his greatness. And if you listen to the NBA announcers now, you hear a lot of them talk about, this player's great. Oh, their greatness, they're so mighty. And they say, oh, the commentators talk about how we're witnessing this player. We're witnessing so-and-so, breaking new records, so forth and so on. And I want to ask ourselves this, what have you witnessed in your life? Now, I've watched LeBron play, I've seen him on TV, all this stuff, and it's okay. It's like a yay, okay. I mean, I've seen Mark Price, the short white guy for the Cleveland Cavaliers, setting three-point records before Steph Curry. Man, that was amazing. But once again, Mark Price is just yay, just a basketball player. But what have you witnessed in your life? What have you witnessed in your life? Take 10 seconds. What have you witnessed in your life that you would say is amazing or it transformed your life? After witnessing that event, what did you do? Let me ask you that. What did you do? If you witness a car event, what do? You call the police, right? Because you don't want to pay for that, right? You witness somebody doing something great. You might go up and say, hey, that's a great job, or write them a thank you note. Thank you for doing that. But we are all witnesses of something in our lives. We all witness something day by day, year by year, month by month. We are witnessing things. Jesus talks to us in this gospel that we are going to be a witness for him. When we look in Acts chapter 2 here, verse 32, Luke is writing, he says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. So even though Nike was really great at coining this phrase, Nike borrowed it from the scriptures, all right? See, that was a bad dad joke, but anyhow, I think Nike borrowed it from them. But in the beginning of the church, there was that witnesses everywhere. The apostles and the people that saw Jesus rose from the dead, that saw the miracles and things he did, they were all witnesses. They were all witnesses to Jesus' greatness, his kingship, his love for people, the way he came and he transformed the hearts and lives of men and women and children. And 2 Peter here, chapter 2, verse 16, Peter writes, he says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And I want to encourage us today, no matter how great the accomplishments of people on this earth, presidents, basketball players, teachers, your mom or dad, a grandparent, who knows? You pick the person. No one should be called a king or a queen or his majesty or they're so great or so be bowed down and worship. It says the phrase goes like this. It says, stand tall before men, bow low before God. There's only one who is majestic, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning of Scripture here, it reminds us this, that we are witnessing, that the beginning of the church, they witnessed something. And how many of you today can say, Pastor Dan, I have witnessed Jesus transforming my life? Can you I'll raise my hand right now. I've seen God move in my life day after day, even when I think he wasn't moving. Then I witnessed, what he's been up to behind the closed doors and thinking, man, God, you're good. We have all witnessed his provision. If you had food today, you've been a witness to food. If you have clothes today, thank God, we all have clothes on. We are witnesses that God's provided clothes for us. We have a building, we have lights. He's provided the financial means for us to have a place to gather. We have all witnessed his power, his majesty, and what he can do. And so today's theme is this. For week two, we're going to be talking about we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses. Now, you may think, Pastor Dan, man, I've not seen God raise somebody from the dead. I've not seen, you name it. But let's keep going on here. And we're talking about what have we witnessed and what can we testify about? The Wesley brothers, John and Charles Wesley and George Whitfield, they were famous preachers back in the 1700s and into the early 1800s. They were accused of being too, quote, enthusiastic about the gospel, about Jesus, about their methods, about trying to tell others about Jesus, our Savior. They were told that you're kind of faking it, you're making things up. The Holy Spirit isn't that exciting. Jesus isn't that exciting. I mean, he's good and can redeem you, but it's just you live your life normal. But they preached about the Holy Spirit and filling us, about the sanctification of the Spirit, the justification, about how the Holy Spirit gives us gifts from God Almighty, and how the Holy Spirit comes in and reminds us that we are the sons and daughters of the King, that we have a hope and a future, that we're not just following some cleverly devised myth, as Peter said, but that we are a witness to what he's done in our lives, inside and outside. Look at the verse 8, Acts 1:8. It's going to be on the screen here, and we're going to get into our main text here in a moment, but I want to just set us up here with some things. Last week, we talked about This is our kind of our pre-verse. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Last week, we talked about receiving power from the Spirit. And we talked about how that no church owns the Spirit. No church controls the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts of himself to anybody that believes in Jesus and empowers them. It's not us. We don't bestow that upon anybody. It's the gifts of the Spirit. But this week, I want to talk to you about, "And you will be my witnesses." And I want to ask us today, are you being a witness for Jesus? Now, I'm not going to give you these rules. Here's what it looks like. Here's what you got to do. Because Scripture doesn't give us this rubric of legalistic, here's what it looks like, and you just check it off and you're done. We are constantly told to be a witness. And what does that look like for you and for you and for you and for you in your daily walk? What does that look like to be a witness? And to, in essence, we saw in that commercial, people were talking about all the things they've seen LeBron did. What is it like? What does it look like for you to be a witness about what Jesus has done in your life to those here in Sioux City? Let's get real practical. Here in South Sioux, North Sioux, in your high school, in your neighborhoods, what does that look like for you to be a witness, to testify of the greatness of Jesus, to show his resplendent majesty? What does that look like on a daily basis for you? We have three mandates, what we're going through in these 3 weeks. Last week was about receiving power. This week, it's going to be a witness. We have a mandate to be a witness. And then next week, we'll be talking about going out into all the world, everywhere with the gospel of Jesus. But turn with me here to 2 Corinthians. It'll be on your screen too. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. This is our main text of the day. We read a greater portion of this last week, but we're gonna narrow it down and hone in here on this verse here, verses 18 through 20. And it says, and remember, this is the Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Last week, remember, we talked about how each of you are government employees. We are in the employment of Jesus and his government, and we had the ministry of reconciliation. We're government agents of the king to go out and to bring people to know Jesus. Verse 19 goes on, it says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, trusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Let's pray here, church. Jesus, over these next few moments, we just ask that you would speak. God, I pray that you would come in and illuminate your words, your scripture. Not my words, not what I want to say, but God, we pray that you would speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl here in this building and remind us that your word is holy and it's true and it guides us to your son, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen and amen. And these two verses, look at verse 19 and 20 here. Verses 19 and 20 highlight two things. Verse 19 highlights what? That God has redeemed us. He's reconciled us to himself. That's the first thing that we have witnessed. And many of you in here have said, man, God has redeemed me. He's forgiven me. I've put my faith and trust, confessed my need for him. And God has reconciled. He's brought you close to him. And you feel that. You feel like, and you've experienced that redemption, that justification. And then secondly, here in verse 20, God also is showing us that we have something to do. We have to go out and be his ambassadors on behalf of him. In Acts 1:8, and 2 Corinthians here, it teaches that we are witnesses. And a witness does this. Have you ever thought about what does a witness do? A witness actually has two sides. First, a witness is what happens to us. In a court of law or a testimony, a witness had to have seen something. It had to experience something. You just can't go testify. Just be, you know, I can't say, Jeremy, if I didn't see you this week, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Driving, great. I don't know. Driving in, no, that's a bad example. Jeremy, I got a great example. I saw you this week. You were so nice to Hannah. And you just treated Hannah with just such grace and kindness. And you made her her favorite Brazilian dinner. And you took her out and got her favorite book. I don't know. If I wasn't there, I couldn't go before a court of law and say, I saw Jeremy do this and this, because it would be a lie, right? It'd be perjury. But if I was there and saw this, I'd be like, oh, man, way to go, Jeremy. Yeah, that's my bro. Yeah, good job. So a witness has to experience something. It's what we see and what we experience. And then on the flip side, a witness is what we testify about. It's what we tell others in a professional or personal or a legal conversation. So a witness has two things. A lot of times in Christianity, man, we love to be like, whoo, man, come on, Jesus. I need your provision. Help me pay my bills. God, I need you to heal my back. God, I need you to take care of this or that. and we live to experience what God does in our life. Jesus, I need you to get me a job, fix the leak in the roof, or you name it. But then when it comes to the testifying, the side B of the coin, that's just my private life. And I'll talk to you about Jesus when it's the right time and when no one's looking and when the government is going to be over my shoulders and maybe when Facebook allows me to and maybe when I won't get made fun of, I'll talk about Jesus. No. We love experiencing the good Lord, but we don't want to talk about the good Lord over here in our day-to-day life. Now, once again, this isn't condemnation, right? This isn't a rubric. Jesus didn't say, you got to do it just like this. He just said, is my praise ever on your lips? Am I worth so much to you that you're willing to tell everybody about me? And a lot of us at A Church, and myself included, are we being a witness over here on this side? Both of these verses are very clear. This isn't some of God theology. This isn't Baptist theology. This isn't this theology or this church. This is the word of God that overrides and supersedes every church in this city, that we are called to be a witness. And just like Jeff, thankfully, Jeff, you mentioned that, we are called to go and proclaim the gospel to Romania, Poland, everywhere, South Sioux, North Sioux, anywhere. We are called to take the gospel and go and be a witness. And church, we need to be reminded today that we are called to be a witness. This word witness in the New Testament is used 93 times. You can go Google it, look it up. You can read your whole New Testament. 93 times the word witness is used. So if the word is used once, okay. If it's used twice, 5, maybe 10 times, okay, it might mean something. But when the scripture uses it 93 times in the New Testament, do you think God's like trying to get our attention? Yes, he's trying to remind his body that we are to go out and talk about all the works he's done. Remember when they told Peter and the apostles and Stephen, hey, to be quiet, what did they say? They said, oh, no, we can't remain quiet. We can't not stop talking about all the things he's done, how he's transformed us and what happened. They were beaten, they were thrown in jail, right? They were ridiculed. But what happened? Because of their boldness, you and I today know Jesus. We have the word because of their boldness, because of their witnessing, their testifying. And then what we talked about last week, the main things are the plain things and the plain things are the main things. It's a plain thing is to be a witness. We have to be a witness. But here's the beauty of this. The beauty is that God has called each of you uniquely, and he wants to use each one of you uniquely to be a witness. Some of you are really gifted with going out. You could walk up to that brick wall and talk to it and tell it about Jesus and tell it about what you're doing at your home and what your kids are doing. Some of you, that would be a hard thing. But some of you are really good at the personal one-on-one conversations. Some of you are really good about writing a note to someone, talking to them, and telling them about what Jesus has done in your life. Each of you has a gift to promote and tell people about the gospel of Jesus. And God wants to use you in that. But in that, you have to get it outside of your heart and mind. Being a witness isn't about, I'm going to witness inside of myself, and I'm going to tell that person over there in my mind about Jesus. No, you have to transmit that outside. A witness in a court of law cannot go up and just sit up on the bench and just sit there. And just think about what they're going to want to testify about. What does the judge say? Get it out, Junior. What do you see? Let's go. If you've been there, you watch trials online or stuff like that, or if you've been in a court, a witness has to testify out loud on record for all to hear. And church, God is reminding us today. He's reminding Crosspoint and the churches in Sioux City, like we talked about, this time to revive. God's calling his church to go out and once again proclaim who he is and not be scared. Church, we have the opportunity to go out in our unique gifts and talents and the way he's made us to go out and to tell others about Jesus. And like you've heard me say before, like with the prophet Jeremiah, we go out with weeping and tears. We don't apologize. We are unashamed of God's commands and his standards. We don't go out. We don't need to hit anybody over the head with this, but we don't need to go out and be apologetic of this. Oh, I'm so sorry for this. Uh-uh. We go out and say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's transformed me. Man, it's hard. Can we all agree? Man, it's hard to live up some of these commands. Man, I'd love to start stealing stuff. Man, I could be rich, get my truck, have all the guns I want. I could steal from banks, but Jesus says don't steal. That's a hard thing. But that's Jesus' words, and he commands us to be a witness and testify to his commands and his love, how he's redeemed us. And as we go out, we can be a witness, and we can uphold the values of Scripture, but still have compassion and weeping and say, man, you need to know this Jesus that sets us free. That man has redeemed my life, gives me a hope. He gives me boundaries so that my life isn't going off in the guardrails, in the gutter, like some of our country and our country is going, our government. Man, God's given us a way to live a life of fullness in him. And God wants to remind his church today that we must testify about his son. It's one thing to be in here today and lift your hands and sing and shout and amen to that. But it's another thing to be out in Hy-Vee, to be at Walmart, to be at your job, and that boss just ticks you off, or that coworker is a lazy person, and they don't do their job. And you just, you want it for a moment, you want to just be like, I'm going to give it to him. But you remember that we are called to be a witness. And there's times we don't want to share the gospel. Are we all there? I've been there. There's times I see people, I don't want to share with you, or the Holy Spirit prods you to say, hey, talk about Jesus to this person. You're like, no, I'm busy. The food's hot in the bag. I got to get it home. But church, we are called to follow and be a witness. Three takeaways for us here as I close. First, where did my PowerPoint go? There he is. First is this. We experience God as a witness. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. It says this. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. First is this. You and I, we've experienced God as a witness in our life. How many of you today have experienced, once again, come on, raise your hand if you're unashamed. Man, God has bore witness in my life of his love, his mercy, his ability to provide, his healing, him taking me as an orphan and putting me and making me feel worthy and worth by forgiving my sins. Man, God, right here. The first thing is that we experience God. God doesn't say, hey, I want you to believe in all this without any proof. God says, I sent my proof in my son and through generations and through my word to show that, hey, I'm good for my word. I'm a trustworthy father. And so first of all, we experience God as a witness. Secondly, we have an internal witness. God is an external witness. We can see everything he's provided, he's given us. Then we have an internal witness. Romans 8, 16, 17 says this. It says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Or yours might say co-heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the deposit of our salvation. It's a deposit. Right, we sing in that song, in Jesus, the best is yet to come. One day, we're going to see Jesus face to face, and we're going to be with him. That's going to be better than what we have right now. Even though this is great, and you're great, and we're going to have some great burgers here in a minute, and community eats, this guy's great. But man, Jesus is better, and the best is yet to come. But the Spirit testifies deep down inside of our inner life, your heart and mind, your soul, the places where it's only you and God the Father. The Holy Spirit reminds us that you are not lost, that the enemy is a liar, that you've been paid for with a price, and that Jesus is alive, he's in you, the Spirit lives in us. And so that's our second thing, that we have an internal witness, that witness and testifies to the goodness of God. And then lastly, is that we are rewarded for being a witness. Now, we're not going to read these, but I'd encourage you, go read these, they're just here in Revelation. But in these verses, and there's more, there's plenty of them, but in these verses in Revelation, it speaks to the individuals in the church that bore a faithful witness about Jesus to others in the face of threats, poverty, loss of vocations, ridicule, and even death. And all these verses here in Revelation, it says that Jesus speaks to his church and he says, hey, you were faithful to me. This person, this church was faithful. And he says, hey, man, I've got a reward for you. You're going to be taken care of. And so church, God is an external witness. God bears witness. Then we have the internal witness. And then we have a reward for being a witness for Jesus today. And once again, I'm going to remind us that this reward, we don't seek the reward, right? We seek to be a witness, to be faithful, to tell others. How can we say God has radically saved me, redeemed me, and I believe in the Holy Scriptures, yet we don't talk to others about it? It's an oxymoron. And I'm guilty as it first, what's the word, what's that phrase? Guilty as charged. I'm with there too. But church, we must go out. We must be a witness. I want to, in closing here, Isaiah 48 says this, 44:8 says this. It says, fear not. Remember, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel. And he says, fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. God is speaking here to the Israelites saying, don't you remember from the beginning? Don't you remember how I created this whole place for you, all this beauty and food and animals? Don't you remember how I saved you out of Egypt? Don't you remember how I provided Canaan and moved everybody out so you could possess the land, a land of milk and honey, a land of provision? God is remembering, trying to remember his people. Say, hey, you witnessed. You were all witnesses of what I did and my power and my might. And he's reminding them, there is no God beside me. And today, church, he's reminding us that you have all witnessed, you've all borne witness to God's provision in your life. You've seen him. If you have breath today, Scripture says, then you've witnessed God providing air for your lungs. If you have life today, and we all do here, we're all living and breathing so far right now in this room, man, we have something to give God praise for and to be a witness of that he has provided life, that there is no other God except through him. And that's why during the month of May, our challenge was this week, and now that we're in May, I'm challenging you this, and I'm doing this myself too. Every week, fast one meal or one day a week and ask God, God, lead me to someone who needs to know you. And then invite one person to church each week. Invite. Don't guilt trip them. Don't shame them. Don't condemn them. Don't bludgeon them. Offer them. Say, hey, come. You can get some great coffee at church. Woohoo. It's the best Folgers offers here. It's better than Starbucks. Or come and enjoy the great comfortable seats. I don't care. Invite them somehow. Tell them we got food. You get them here. And let them see what it means to be part of the family of God, what it means to be transformed. But church, we must bear witness. I told you last week, I invited three people to Easter, and I was hoping they were going to come. They didn't show up. But church, we cannot stop being a witness. No matter if the whole world says, we don't believe you, church, we must still go out and be a witness. And I'm encouraging you to go out and be a witness. Don't make it just a one-time thing. Make it a habitual habit of being a witness, testifying what God's done in your life. And by doing so, by fasting and by taking time to pray and seek God, read your scripture, you're allowing God to speak to you, to remind you that you are his son and daughter. And let him lead you and guide you to that person who needs you. But each week, every week in May, I'm going to challenge you to doing this. Next week, I'm going to have some invite cards for you to take out and invite people, just some generic cards you can have that'll be good for all year long. Just a little kind of business card you can say, hey, come to church. Some people, right, they're going to throw them away. They're going to leave them. But church, we need to use anything possible. I would say, short of sinning, to reach people for Jesus. We need to do anything, use any means possible that's still within godly bounds of Scripture, but we need to reach the lost and go out. Not because it's a nameplate or we get some badge or we get something on the wall. No, because you and I don't save anybody. I thank you, Jeff, for saying that earlier. We don't save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that draws. It's the power of God. All we do is present with open arms and an open life that says, hey, I've been transformed by this Jesus. Here's his revelation. Here's what he talks to us about. Man, all I have is my open life. That's all I've got. The Spirit does the rest, church. And that's evangelism. We don't have to, it's not a certain code or a certain Bible verse you have to say. There's certain things you can say. And I'll help you with that if you want some help with that. But it's an open life of transparency, bearing witness of what God's done in your inner life. And so as I close here, just here's the questions we take away for today. Is who needs to be a witness to the life-changing power of Jesus today? Who needs to be a witness? Maybe you're here and you've never experienced Jesus. You today need to witness that today, that life-changing power of Jesus. Today, as Scripture says, you're going to cross over from death to life, from brokenness to wholeness, from being alone and just not doing anything with your life to having a Father that has made you and purposely created you for a reason. Or do you today, maybe you need to go out and be a witness to the life-changing power of Jesus to someone today. Maybe that person at Hy-Vee, the gas station attendant, your neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, a family member, a son or a daughter, a mom or dad, you need to go out and be that witness and saying, hey, mom or dad or a coworker or a friend over here, hey, no, Joe, man, that's what God's done in my life. You need to be that witness today. And so bow your heads with me and let's pray here. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we say, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for him coming to life, living a perfect life, paying the price that we should have paid, that death on that cross, for dying, but rising again, and giving us a hope and a future, giving us a life, a new life in you, Jesus. Thank you for beating death and beating the powers of sin and darkness in our life. God, we testify today that you have redeemed us, you've called us by name, you love us, you call to us to come to know you today. And God, I pray for the one here right now that doesn't know you, that today they would be a witness. God, they would witness that you can change their life. You can change the path they're on. You can set their heart and their mind free from the lies of Satan, the lies of this world, that there's nothing else in this world, that either they're meaningless and they're forgotten, but today, Jesus, you call to them and you want to bear witness that they are, they can become a child of you, and that you made them and that you've called them by name, and that you formed them in their mother's womb specifically for a reason. And so today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, ask, call on his name. Say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life today. I confess my sins. I believe in you. I need you, Jesus, to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And secondly, Jesus, I ask that you'd make us all here. If we've confessed your name, make us a witness. God, may your church get up and go out, God. May we not live in the church, but may we live out in the marketplace. May we live out in our communities, in our neighborhoods. God, and preach your word and love people and serve people and give generously, God, even when it hurts, God, because you've given so much to us through your son. And we have life and life abundantly. God, I pray today that, God, we go into all the areas of the world. God, every country, every neighborhood, every home, every building, every government, every place of government, every school, sports field. God, may we take your word everywhere. And may we go and testify, Jesus, about you today. May we be your witnesses. As it says in Scripture, you are making your appeal through us. God, thank you for considering us worthy and capable through the power of your Spirit to communicate your message, God. Who are we, Jesus? But we say thank you for making us co-heirs with you. Thank you that you said that we have a treasure in heaven. We have a future in you. So God, go with us today. Thank you for the food today. Thank you, God, for everybody that provided food and brought food. God, thank you for providing us with another meal. And I pray that we go out in the power of your Spirit, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen.